You're listening to Oh My God, I'm a Therapist, the podcast for the therapy curious with your host, Dr. Janice Murphy Rising. As a reminder, the ideas on this podcast are mine and mine alone and not meant to represent all of the therapeutic profession. It's for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice or individualized mental health care. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Oh My God, I'm a Therapist, the podcast where you too can exclaim, Oh My God, I'm a Therapist. Even if you're not a therapist, go ahead and try it. It might be therapeutic for you. It has been oddly and unseasonably sunny here. I think that the sun has gone away for now, and we're back to some pretty heavy rainfall here in the Pacific Northwest. I hope that the weather is okay where you are and that you are well. Today I'm going to talk about how astrology works with therapy. So this is a topic that is exciting for me. When I was younger, I really took to astrology. I remember the first time, I think I was about 9 years old, that I saw an astrology forecast in a newspaper. And I just thought it was so interesting. And the thing that stood out was, I think at the time the author wrote that people that are Cancers are moon children. I'm not sure exactly what it was called, but I just thought that was so fascinating. And I wanted to know more about it. Like, why is somebody that has Libra or was born during the time of Libra having a different day than somebody born in Sagittarius, for example? When I got into my teens, I spent a lot of time exploring different New Age ideas, one of which was astrology. The first astrology book I ever bought for myself was called The Only Astrology Book You Ever Need. I read that book cover to cover multiple times. I read it so much that I broke it in half. I, on my own, would try to cast astrology charts and understand how different sun signs worked with each other and what moon signs meant and rising signs meant. If I had friends that asked me, I would plot out a chart on a piece of paper with a pencil and try to figure out what their chart was. And I did this with a lot of secrecy. And in some ways, I think I was a little ashamed of it. I actually found it really fascinating, but at the time that I was studying this, I often got a lot of questions like, oh, is this something that you believe in? Is that something that works for you? So a lot of skepticism. And I didn't really have the words to explain, one, why I was fascinated with it or why I liked it. But I know that I've always liked things that are a little bit more occult-like and out there. And I felt a little embarrassed, and especially living in a culture where Christianity is the main belief system and religion, I think anything that's outside of that is very threatening to people. And so I would kind of brush it off. And I actually spent some time not studying astrology, but I kept finding myself coming back to it and really feeling as though this is something that was an important pursuit of mine. I remember being in my doctorate program and feeling more at ease telling somebody, one of my professors, that I was getting myself an astrology reading for my birthday. And I probably should have expected this, but this professor said to me, oh, well, what does that do for you? With that actual tone of voice, like, that's weird. Why are you doing that? You know, as if I had just said, I'd like to get colonoscopies for fun. It was another moment where I felt this sense of like, oh, I'm doing something that makes people uncomfortable. And I don't want to make people uncomfortable. I like making people feel at ease. And I like people feeling like they can be themselves around me. And guess what? I also like to be myself around other people too. Even academics that think astrology is weird and out there. So I went to my astrology appointment, and I did get a lot out of it. I enjoyed it very much. I even got a recording, and I still pursued on my own just an interest in astrology. And I found when I got into private practice that people oftentimes would just tell me their astrology sign. And sometimes they were really into it, so they would tell me their moon and their rising sign. And if you don't know what that is, I'll explain it in just a minute. And I just found myself feeling more and more comfortable sharing things about astrology. And it seems like in the last couple of years, the information about astrology and other pursuits has exploded, and people are getting more out about it. And so am I. So I now even put it on my intake form. I ask people, you know, is there anything that you want me to know about you? For example, your Myers-Briggs, what is your Enneagram number, if you happen to know that? And I've done shows on the Enneagram too. Your astrology, for example. I find that when people want to share these things, that it can be a real point of connection that we can make. And when people ask me, I'm happy to tell them what I know. I'm quick to point out that I am not an astrologer, that I am a therapist with a keen interest in astrology. I hope to one day be an astrologer. I don't know if that will happen for me because I'm a therapist, and going to therapy school and learning to be a therapist took a lot of my time and energy. But I see the value in both. And what really solidified this for me is when I was taking a child and adolescent class, also in my doctoral program. One of the books assigned is a book by Violet Oaklander, who was a child psychologist. And she wrote a book called Windows to Our Children, A Gestalt Approach to Children and Adolescents. If you're not familiar with Gestalt, Gestalt theory is this theory that is more about creativity, play, enactment, role plays. One of the most well-known Gestalt methods is what's called the empty chair, which is if you have unfinished business with somebody or you have something that you want to say to someone and maybe you're afraid to say it with the therapist, you bring out an empty chair and imagine that that person is there and talk to them. I was so pleased to be introduced to this book because when I got to the adolescent part, and I am an adolescent specialist, and I know that adolescents, like I did in my own adolescence, love astrology, love anything that gives them a sense of who they are beyond the roles that they've been assigned, anything that helps build up their own sense of what their own values are, their own identity. And one of the treatment planning ideas in Violet Oaklander's book was to get a copy of the book Love Signs by Linda Goodman. Love Signs by Linda Goodman is a much older astrology book that pairs different signs and tells you how they might be in romantic relationships. And so these are all things that young people that come to therapy want to talk about. They want to talk about who they're dating, or they want to talk about who they are. They want to talk about who they are in relationship to their peers or other people. So it was so affirming to me. It was really one of the first times that I felt like astrology and therapy could go hand in hand and could be something that was a good marriage. So as I said before, I think the first thing you need to know if astrology is of interest to you and maybe you'd like to bring this to your therapist. And I want to just name, even if your therapist has no interest in something that's of value to you, it's still important that you raise it and you bring it up. Your own therapy should be from the lens of your own value system. And so I'm guessing if you're listening to this, probably astrology is of interest to you. Probably therapy is of interest to you. If you're a therapist listening to this, I would just encourage you when people bring things that are important to them to pay attention to it. There's a lot of patterns in astrology that can tell us a lot about our patients. And I think that that's something that we as therapists like. We like to know more about our patients. And the more we know about our patients, the more that we can affirm them. So I want you to think about astrology as being the moment that you were born, the stars aligned a certain way and took a still photo, which is why when you go online and you cast your astrology chart, or if you went to an astrologer, they will want to know your date of birth, the time you were born, where you were born, because they want to be able to recreate that picture with whatever software they have to cast astrology charts. And so depending on that, there's a lot of information. There's so much information. Sometimes it's just overwhelming to listen to the information that's out there because it's a lot. It's not just about who you are as a person, but you can apply astrology to different cycles and patterns of the economy, of the history of the world, of, you know, looking at where planets have been previously at different times can give us some predictions of what things are going to look like forward when Gemini is in Mars again in the future, which it is right now. Mars is in Gemini. The three things that I think are really helpful to know if you're new to astrology and maybe you're listening to this and you're Googling something that says my astrology chart and you're finding Astrology Cafe or Channing Nicholas's website, and you're able to really quickly put in your astrology information. Three of the things that will come up in that information will be what your sun sign is, which you might already know because that's based on the time of year that you were born. That's what all horoscopes are about. It might have your moon sign, which I think is important for therapy, and I'll explain why that's important in a moment, and your rising sign. So first of all, your sun sign. Your sun sign is sometimes a good global snapshot of who you are. It's not all of who you are. As much as I loved Linda Goodman's Sun Signs book, I also know that a Virgo and an Aries can very happily be together. It's not that they're incompatible, because they can have lots of different parts of their chart that bring them together. But it's still fun to read about and get just like a general idea of what Virgo and Aries might be like together, Sagittarius and Scorpio, for example. When you learn your rising sign, you want to think about the rising sign is where the planets were on the horizon the moment you were born. So what sign was coming up? And so when somebody says, I'm a Libra rising, you can know that the moment they were born, and that changes every hour. So that's why it's important to know your exact time of birth, or at least the hour that you were born. It's also important to know that your moon sign is going to be what rules your chart if you were born at night, whereas your sun sign would be what rules your chart if you were born during the day. So sometimes when somebody says, yeah, I read my horoscope in the paper, which is based on your sun signs, it just didn't feel right to me. Well, a question I would have for them is, what time were you born? Were you born at night? Because it might be that you need to read whatever your moon is. So your rising sign is oftentimes what people get an impression of. It's sort of like your ambiance or your outfit that you wear, where your sun is actually you. When you take your jacket off or you really get to know somebody, your sun sign is more who you are, more at the core and heart of who you are. And so your rising sign can be your first impression, which if your rising sign has a really different energy or quality to it than your sun sign or your moon sign, people might approach you differently than you see yourself. And so that's really good information to know. And so again, if you know enough about your big three, or your therapist knows enough about your big three, these are things you can talk about, because these things impact the way people approach you in the world, or maybe the way conflict shows up in your life, or maybe the way you organize yourself or work in the world, or you don't organize yourself. And then I think most important is your moon sign. Whether you were born at night or during the day, your moon sign is about your emotions. Your moon sign is about how you navigate processing big things in the world, your feelings. It's about what it can be more nurturing to you, what can be more comforting to you. And so I kind of think of the big three as being layers, where the rising sign is the first layer and your sun sign is the next layer, and your moon is more like where your heart is. Depending on where your moon is and your sun is in your astrology chart, it can show up differently. Something else I like people to think about is also what is happening in your seventh house. And so I always encourage people that work with me to cast their astrology chart, bring it to me. Don't send it to me. Don't ask me to keep it for you, because these things, I want you to keep them. I don't need that information. But your seventh house is about relationships, and it's mostly about your romantic relationships, but it can be about all of your relationships. And your fourth house can be about your family. So knowing, even if you don't have any planets in those houses, it's good to know what planets you do have, what signs are in those houses. That can tell you a lot about some of the relationships you have, or some of the other things that you have going on in your life. So one of the things that I hope that you're getting from this is, whether you are a teenager or an adult or a loved one supporting somebody in therapy, that astrology can be something that helps you get to know yourself and understand who you are, and not just who you are in your own skin, but who you are in relationship to other people around you, the world around you, maybe where you work. It can demonstrate for you things that might just be of interest to you, depending on what's in your ninth house, for example. It can tell you a lot of information that can really help you solidify and validate who you are as a unique individual and person. And so I hope this inspires you and encourages you, if astrology is something that speaks to you, to bring some of these ideas, even just your astrology chart or the big three, to your therapy session. So again, those books that I read earlier were The Only Astrology Book You Ever Need. I don't even know if it's still out in publication anymore. I honestly didn't get another copy after I broke mine in half. I think I felt like I'd memorized it at that point. I'm sure you can find Linda Goodman's Sun Signs at a used bookstore. And if astrology is brand new to you, I encourage you to read You Were Born for This by Chani Nicholas. I think that is a wonderful introductory book. If I were a teenager right now and I didn't know anything about astrology, I would want to start with that book because I think it really easily breaks down a lot of concepts. And finally, I hope that this brings you some more joy into your life. I really enjoy listening to different astrologers and learning about astrology and learning about how the things that are happening with the moon or with Mars being in Gemini impact me, impact the world. I've mentioned this podcast before, but the astrology podcast with Chris Brennan, it's 2023, and about a month ago, he put out a pretty lengthy year snapshot. So it's about 20 minutes each sign, which made it about a 4-hour episode. And so if you're interested, you can go. And if you know now that your moon sign, you were born at night, so you want to listen to your moon sign. He also recommends listening to your rising sign, and he explains why that's important. You can listen to all three. You can listen to your moon, your sun, and your rising sign. And you can use that information to kind of give you a sense of maybe what you might expect for the year to come. And also, just as a reminder, as a therapist, I'm not here to predict your life for you. So I don't do transits. I don't look at making predictions for people. I instead use the information to help you become more completely who you are. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please like it. Please send me an email and tell me, share it with a friend. As an independent podcaster, it's always good to have word of mouth. This is really the way that I will be able to grow my show. All right, take care of you and yours. Bye for now.